Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. This is the 5th day of August, and I'm your host, Paul White. The 5th day of August, special day for Natasha and I. This was the day that we celebrate our wedding anniversary. This is 26 years this year. We were married in 1995, just a couple of bright-eyed kids that didn't know what in the world they were doing, and here we are today, and probably not quite as bright-eyed. Not quite as much kids, and still don't know much about what we're doing, but we're together in it. And so I just want to celebrate Natasha today and celebrate the marriage that God has given us and the work that has went into it and the favor that has been given to it. Thank God for Natasha and what she means to me and to this ministry, and thank God for a union that I think is representative of God's best gift to me for sure, and I hope I'm that to her. And so thank you for those of you who extend happy anniversary greetings our way. We appreciate it so very, very much. Our pledge and commitment, not only to one another, but to continue to shine the spotlight on Jesus and try to lead people into liberty. That's what my prayer is. It's what I hope to do. Alleviate people from fear, from God's wrath, that they can relax in knowing that he has already paid the price for them. That segues pretty nicely into our text today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Adam says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, you know what's coming, and you know where we've come from, but this is a moment that usually just gets overlooked on our way to hearing God's response. Of course, God's response, "Who told you you were naked?" We'll talk about that tomorrow. Today, I don't want to leave verse 10 as if it's just some introduction. Adam is bearing his soul. "Well, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Why was I afraid? "I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Of course, being afraid because you're naked doesn't make any sense unless you're naked because you did something wrong and the person that told you not to do it is on their way. And so Adam, of course, is afraid because he's been caught. And he knows that being naked is a physical, visual result of a spiritual failure. God said, "Don't eat from that tree." They ate from that tree. Now they are naked. Adam goes, "Well, I'm afraid." And by all intents and purposes, he has every right to be afraid. Why wouldn't he? I mean, God told him not to do it. God said, "The day you do it, you shall surely die." Adam died to something. He knew he wasn't the same Adam he was a few minutes ago. And that scared him enough to separate. But God didn't tell him anything other than that. God didn't say, "The day that you eat it, you'll surely die, and I won't talk to you anymore. The day that you eat it, you'll die, and I'll be done with you." The punishment's already been exacted. He's already dead. He's already spiritually dead. That is the punishment of sin. We like to read, "The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's exactly right. What is death? The death that accompanies the soul that sins. I don't even think you have to relegate this into the eternal future. Adam wasn't told, "The day that you sin, you shall surely die, and then I'll punish you for eternity." No. The day that you eat it, you're dead. So I think people are living underneath the weight and the punishment of sin when they try to live the human existence outside of the love of the Father. They're living the death. And when you become conscious to living that death, how could you not be afraid? How could you not be afraid that you're missing out on something? That you're missing out on life as it should be, or life as it could be? And I know that this must be vital, because if you watch Jesus through the Gospels, he repeatedly introduces himself over and over again to his disciples with the introductory phrase, "It is I. Be not afraid." Why does he keep saying to them, "Don't be afraid, be not afraid"? Because it's the default position of a man who stands naked in the eyes of his Creator, realizing that he is underneath the punishment of having eaten from the wrong tree. And that man's going to be afraid. So Jesus keeps saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, if Jesus is the living embodiment of his Father and the love of his Father, and I believe he is. He is everything about God wrapped up in human flesh. If Jesus keeps introducing himself to people as don't be afraid, fear not, he must be showing us that Adam's response in the garden is the wrong response. Adam's afraid, but he doesn't need to be afraid because he doesn't have a God who's out to exact all kinds of stuff on him. Oh, there's a curse attached to what Adam has done. God's going to define that curse in the coming texts. There's no way around it. But Adam's already in death. He's already experienced that. And that death has led to fear. And that fear has led to separation. And the separation that Adam is experiencing is separation on his own part. What I've referred to before as the illusion of separation. You're not actually separated from God, but you make yourself out to think you are. And it manifests in fear. So when Jesus constantly reminds his audience, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, it's Jesus saying, I know you are naked. I know you're ashamed of yourself. I know you've eaten from the wrong tree. I know the scales have fallen off your eyes and you are now wholly dependent upon your own conscience. And I know that there is an enormous amount of death and guilt that comes with that. But don't be afraid. I'm not here to destroy you. The Son of Man hasn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I am here with that crack in my voice going, Adam, where are you? You can put what we talked about yesterday, where God says, Adam, where are you? You can put that together with Adam's response and realize that God's not rushing in to destroy, but rushing in to save. This is who our Father is. So go face the world today, and I encourage you, be not afraid. Don't create an illusion of separation. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, Paul said. Not height, not depth, not life, not death, not anything above or beneath or any other creature. Nothing can separate us from his love. Grace to you today. God bless.